Okay, let's start with the Jewy Jew Jew and the situation in the Middle East with the Hamas and the Gaza Strip and all that. I want to say so many things. I'm afraid I'm going to skip any, but I'm going to take it one bit at a time. Maybe I'm going to make more than one podcast here. Let me start off by saying that Islam and Judaism are two sides of the same coin. Islam, Muslims and Jews practice the same, pretty much the same religious rites. I mean, they don't believe in exactly the same thing. Jews don't believe that even in heaven. Obviously, Muslims believe in heaven with 72 virgins waiting for them, if they kill enough infidels before they get there, obviously. But in so many other things, like kosher, halal, it's the same thing, really. They both hate pigs because they think the pig is a dirty animal. Where do you get that from? A pig is a dirty animal? And then if you ask him, why do you think a pig is a dirty animal? Well, because it rolls in the mud. Well, they roll in the mud because they are semi-aquatic animals like hippopotamus, water buffaloes, and so on, capybaras. And they roll in mud because it makes them feel good. It takes some of the, it keeps them cool. You know, when they were in the wild, like boars, for instance. And so, I mean, there's a reason why they act, but you can't impose a sort of an anthropomorphic feeling on animals. You can't say a pig is a dirty animal. That's like saying the lion is proud. And the horse is noble. Well, you say that. I don't think horses and lions understand the concept of pride and nobility. But anyway, so they do believe in a lot of the same things. They grew up in the same environment. The struggle between Muslims and Jews, it's the same as the Sunnis and the Shiites. Really, it's the same as the Sunni and the Shiite. It's almost like the United States does not get involved in those kind of disputes between Arabs. When Iraq, a Sunni country, went to war against Iran, a Shiite country, we didn't get involved, not directly at least, although we were supporting for a while the Iraqis, anyway. But it's their problem. It's not our problem. And so, like I said, Islam and Judaism are two sides of the same coin. One is a relatively new religion, Islam, of course, relatively new, still from the 7th century. And on the other hand, Judaism is a very ancient, almost Stone Age, well, Bronze Age, to be accurate, religion, going back at least around the time of Moses, which was about the 8th century before Christ. So it's what Arnold Toynbee, the English historian, once called a living fossil. Judaism is a living fossil. While everybody else around them sort of disappeared into the dust of history, Mesopotamians, Syrians, Romans, ancient Egyptians, and their religion sort of disappeared along with them, Judaism survived, much to their credit. There may be many sociological significant reasons for that. But it's still around. It's truly an amazing journey, and I give Jews a lot of credit for being able to survive. They were always a small number. They still are. They're probably no more than about 20 million Jews in the world today. A good number of them are non-practicing Jews. They don't care about the religion, very secular. But they identify, nevertheless, as Jews, which is, again, a very interesting sociological phenomenon. And, of course, you know, sociology always pops up when talking about the Jews. It's the small community that has a lot of these issues. Is it a religion? Well, apparently not, because if you convert to Judaism, it's like, well, you're converted. You converted to Judaism. You're not really considered a Jew, per se. They don't really look at you as a Jew. They don't really, the Jews still have a racial attitude toward their Judaism. In other words, even when Jews reject, and there are many atheistic Jews, even when they reject Judaism as a religion, as something that need to be followed to the letter, yet nevertheless they say, well, yeah, I'm a Jew. Again, this is very problematic, because that doesn't just make them a religion, but it makes them a race, a distinct race of people. Well, of course, you can say, well, they're Semitic, like the Palestinians or the Lebanese or the Saudis and so on, but they're not, because this other Semitic people don't accept them as one of their own. So there you go. That's another issue that, of course, cannot really be fully addressed. There is no real answer to this kind of thing, because it's all subjective. You know, from a purely scientific point of view, they're humans, or at least they're hominids. I don't like the word human, because I believe we are separated by a species component. But they would be, I suppose, Caucasian, of the Semitic type, and that would be the end of that. However, we are dealing with a world of ideas, ideologies, symbols, and so on. And so people look at each other as though they belong to certain groups, which are not necessarily part of their tribe. And humans, I suppose, like chimps, tend to be tribal animals, for better or for worse. You have this state of Israel, which, again, going back to the idea of atheistic Jews, practicing Jews, the state of Israel, there are many ideologies around that idea. One, of course, that God, according to the Bible, gave the Jews this shitty piece of land. And it is a shitty piece of land. It's like a desert in Afghanistan, except much hotter. I mean, of all the land in the Middle East, Israel is the only one that doesn't have any oil. Gee, nice God. I mean, really, you know, with a God like that, who needs friends, right? Or I should say, who needs enemies? All right. So, but then again, you know, for Jews to make the claim, well, it's written in the Bible that this is our land. My question to them is, do you think that God was a real estate agent? Since when is God a real estate agent? So that's another issue that, of course, I mean, that would be like saying, you know, the American Indians want everybody out of North America because it was their land. Well, not so fast. It's not going to happen. Okay. So now, as I was saying, The state of Israel was established in the 1950s after World War II. Of course, the trauma of the Holocaust, whether you believe that everything that they claim about the Holocaust was true or not, that's not the point. A lot of people do believe it, and certainly the Jews did, particularly the Jews in Eastern Europe. And these were the Jews that really make up Israel. They're really, 90% of them are really Eastern European Jews. Upper East Side Jews, you know, New York Upper East Side, the rich Jews. Trust me, they did not take part in the formation of Israel. They did not fight the British and then the Arabs to form the state of Israel, okay? It was this Eastern European Jews, tough guys, by the way. Many of them actually belonged to the Communist Party. Many of them fought in the Red Army against the Nazis. Many of them were in Poland fighting the Nazis there. In Ukraine, well, the Ukrainians, yes, it's true. Many of them actually fought on the side of the Nazis because they hated Hitler even more. Many of the Jews in Ukraine took the side of the Soviets fighting the Nazis. And of course, other Jews in that part of the world, Uzbekistan, you name it, Belarus, etc. They're the ones that got on the boat, so-called Exodus, on the way to Israel to establish a country called Israel, or Judea, or, you know, the difference is there, but it's subtle and probably not even significant. So you had this basically atheistic and communistic Jews from Eastern Europe that established a theocratic state, a theocratic state established by atheists and communists. Now, if you don't call that a contradiction, I don't know what you call a contradiction. It's really unbelievable. And now, the other thing is the racial part, and that is that the Muslims, the Arabs, the Palestinians, whatever you want to call them, they were there. They were chased out, indeed. They see these Europeans basically not as Semitic people, as I said before, but as basically European colonizers. They are white people who turn them into bitches. Okay, the Semitic people there. The Palestinians are brown. Many of them are indistinguishable from African blacks. And they felt like this Europeans, and of course, because of intermixing in Europe, many of the Jews from Europe looked, in fact, very European, because I'm sure there was some sort of intermixing with lighter skin European, especially from Eastern Europe. And so what do you have now? Well, you have this European colony in the middle of this hellhole, okay, which is the Middle East. And I admire them for what they did. I admire the fact that they were able to fight up until now. Now, the lady next door is turning on the music, and I have to turn this off. But I'm going to continue this conversation with this idiot next to me. Turns off the sound of the music.